Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and it is awesome to have you here with us today. Hopefully, you are taking the time to enjoy gaming on whatever console you enjoy gaming on. But of course, we're going to talk specifically about Xbox, and we have a lot to get into over the weekend, folks. Some big news with Toys for Bob coming the way of Jez Corden of Windows Central. We're going to get into that story. Of course, breaking Friday was some information regarding Grand Theft Auto 6 potentially getting moved out of 2025 into 2026. Again, I have two different stories. One is for that, the other is against. We'll break that down, but I'm here to tell you folks that if it is delayed in the 26, why that is going to be a huge deal for Xbox and their next hardware, which is rumored to be releasing in 2026. And of course, we're going to open the show with something that is fun as we wait for people to kind of file in here. We're going to talk about what we're playing. And the answer is, well, the correct answer is, it should be Dragon's Dogma 2. We're going to get into that as well. Let's get into introductions. We'll start first with Crazy Lou Gaming. Crazy Lou, what's up, brother? How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great, great, great. Happy to join you guys. Spring break has started for me. So, yeah, happy to be here. Let's get the show on the road. Those to talk about.
Yes, indeed. And Gamsley, what's going on, brother? Long time, no time. How you feeling, man?
Yeah, it's been a week. Oh my god. Didn't see you in a long time. No, I'm having a blast, man. We're going to get into what we've been playing, but we all know Dragon Dogma 2 is the GOAT, baby. I'm ready to talk some games. I'm having a lot of fun. Let's go.
Indeed. And Crispy Bomb joining us, not normally here on Mondays, usually here on Friday mornings, but he can't be here Friday. As a matter of fact, I believe there is not going to be a new Breakfast with Boom. Obviously, it's Good Friday. And what we're probably going to do is take the day off. Mrs. Boom is off. And we're going to just, you know, enjoy a three-day swing, if you will, and kind of just put our, let our hair down, recharge our battery, so to speak. And we'll be back at it the following Monday. But on Thursday, folks, we are doing our newly added annual Easter giveaway. We're going to give away $100 worth of gift cards, four $25 gift cards. That comes the way of Mrs. Boom, who looked through the finances and said, yeah, we can add another $100 to the tally. So, yes, Thursday's X Vlog Live with me and C Money, we will be giving away $100 worth of gift cards to your platform of choice, Nintendo eShop, PlayStation, obviously, if you want that, you get it. Xbox, well, because it's an Xbox show. But if you are out of the country and you're not in the States, we will, of course, honor that and send that money to you via PayPal. We will pay the transfer fee as well. You pay nothing if you win. And, of course, we're one of the few shows that actually honor outside of the Americas, because, well, if you support Double Barrel Gaming, no matter where you are, we're going to support you just the same. So, four $25 gift cards for Thursday. Tune in, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will let the picker, thanks to StreamYards, do that. And if you're in the chat, you get a chance at winning $25 to your platform of choice. Fuzzy, what's going on, brother? Welcome back. How you feeling?
Feeling great. Glad to be here with you guys. A little scruffy today, but definitely been playing a lot.
I got the old man beard going. Yeah, I'm there.
And a lot of other games, but Dragon's Dogma is a pretty special game. Definitely going to be a Game of the Year nominee. So we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, man. That's what we're going to open up the show. Listen, look, like I said on Friday's stream, obviously we've had some turbulation with the channel. And we want to get back to the core of what we built this channel on. That is honesty. That's integrity. That's transparency. That's inclusion, right? That's something that's super big and super important for us. But one of the main factors of any podcast should be fun. Why you're here is to listen to us talk about video games, get excited about talking about video games. And of course, when there are serious topics, we will address it. We will not shy away from it. Even if it is a, you know, a bit of a pointed conversation. We will not shy away from having those. But we do want to kind of reel it back in. There's been a lot of negativity over the course of the last 60 days on the socials, on social media, in content creation, because there's been a lot of negative news. And we want to start bringing back the positivity. It's what you folks subscribe to the channel for. It's what we want to get back to doing. Again, if there is something that we need to talk about, we will. But we're not going to drive negativity. Obviously, we might have, because I'm the host, I might have gone off the path a bit. And I don't like it. And, you know, obviously, there are a lot of people that don't like it. So what we're going to do is going to reel it back in, get back to basics, and talk about fun, which is what we're supposed to have. And what we're going to talk about to open the show is what we're playing. Now, I'm playing Dragon's Dogma 2. Slewy got coerced into getting it after watching everyone talk about it. Gamsley's playing it. Fuzzy's playing it. I don't know if Crispy is playing it. If he is or is not.
Absolutely not.
There you go. So it's not a game for him. I want to start because I told this story to the guys in the green room. What makes this game shine is the unexpectability of the world. The encounters happen out of nowhere for no reason other than it's just happening. And I'm currently rolling. I got a level 17 fighter pawn. He is amazing. He's like 10 feet tall. He's like this leopard guy with armor that's as big as Bison's from Street Fighter. I have a level 7 archer. Her name is Xena, of all things, which is pretty cool. And she's a little, she's funny. Yeah, I didn't the name. Literally, the name was there. Xena. Okay, that's great.
I named Xena too.
And it's funny because she's, she's a little weak, but she does damage. Now, I do have, obviously, a mage as the main pawn. And for me, I'm a fighter. Now, the pawn, it's funny because I was telling the guys, I had made her I tried to make her look as close to Josette, which, of course, is my wife, Mrs. Boom, as possible. Blonde hair, blue eyes. My wife is pretty tall. She's like 5'10 and some change. So she's a tall woman. It kind of does look like her. And I showed her and she was like, you know something? I could probably sue you for that because I didn't give you permission. So no, whenever we play these games, she's always a mage. That's her thing. Sorceress, of course. Those are the characters that I'm rolling. But the story that I'm here to tell you folks is pretty dope. I think I'm level 15. I think she's level 15 as well. And I'm just rolling through the forest, just getting ready to go do whatever mission we're on, right? Because one of the first earliest missions. And my problem is that I know where I have to go, but I never go there. I'm always going to the left, to the right. I spend hours just, you know, circumventing the environment. And what was crazy was the earth the floor kind of shaked a bit. And I'm like, what is happening? And out of nowhere, some trees get knocked down and a freaking giant minotaur jumps out. And I'm like, holy shit. Okay, so let's beat this thing down. And it was freaking huge. So the thing swings its club and sends me flying. What it was funny is not that I went flying, is that there were a group of other NPCs that saw this. And they jumped in to help. So it was 8-on-1. It was amazing. And after, you know, fighting for our lives, we finally killed this thing. But it was just so random, like such a random event. I could not believe it. I can't stop playing it. I have very serious Elden Ring vibes from it. It is already, for me, this is just for me, my game of the year. It's, again, I know some people are really mad about the egregious, microtransactions. I have not spent a dollar, and I found everything that they have available there, twice over. So I'm just playing the game. I'm not going to front. If they sold like outfits that, let's say for instance, cause Capcom likes to cross pollinate stuff. So if there was, like, say, a Devil May Cry outfit that was medieval looking, I'd freaking buy it. I wish there was. There's not. But you don't have to buy anything but the game. I'm enjoying it. I do want to bring in Crazy Lou Gaming because he was coerced by the community to play this game. What do you take so far, man?
Man, Mr. Lipstick, I'm loving this game. I mean, look, it's been Silent Blow has been for years. He's been telling me, play number one, get number one, go play Dark Small One. You gotta play it, you'll love it. And I look at it, I'm like, because I was like climbing up monsters, you know, hugging them and stuff like that to stab them and things like that. I was like, I don't know about that. But I'm a big Souls fan. I love Souls games. And I was like, how am I going to see? I mean, how am I going to sit down and play this game? Am I going to enjoy it? Because is it going to be like a Souls-like game? Is it going to feel that good? I was like, I don't know about this. Too much fantasy, which fantasy is not bad, but I always looked at it like it was a Final Fantasy type of game. That doesn't mean I don't like Final Fantasy, but when there's like too much fantasy, I was like, But listen, I saw you guys playing it out there on Twitter, and I was like, should I get it? Should I not get it? Should I get it? Should I not get it? And man, I said, okay, let me buy it. I'm going to buy it. I got $70 laying around. Let me go buy it. Let me just taste it. Let me see what's going on with this game. I buy it. I go in there. I create the character. You know, I make him look buff because I don't want it to look like me, kind of tubby, you know. Then it would be like a slow dude. I want to make him big and buff, you know. They go, Hercules buff. I was like, yeah, no one's going to mess with me, man. So I create my character. Oh, what's that? I hear a phone call right there.
What happened?
Oh, no, my bad. Sorry about that. It was a phone call from WhatsApp. Sorry about that. So I hit it. So I, you know, made my guy head in there and started watching the story. I'm like, it was kind of weird. So I keep on going. You know, I see this guy picking up a boulder. I'm like, oh, he can pick boulders. That's awesome. I keep running around, heading into it. And, man, I start fighting with the golems. When I start fighting with those golems, man, I'm like, oh, wow, this combat feels awesome. And I picked the fighter, of course, because I like to, you know, run around with big swords, stuff like that, you know. Oh, man. And it felt great. It really did feel like I was actually playing a Souls game. It felt that good. And I was like, oh, man, beating up those golems and all that stuff, man. I was like, fantastic, especially when you impale them. I love the impale effect. It feels awesome. The impale feels fabulous. Now, there's one thing I don't get about that game. Does it have a target system? Like you can target your bad guys or not? Because I've been trying to where's
you talking about, like lock on?
I
don't think so, because I was looking for it, because it does get chaotic, especially when they jump from behind and they get behind you. Maybe they can add that.
There's no targeting. There's no locking. There is like a target for weak points, but there's no lock on for opponents.
Oh no, man! Because every time I got chaotic, I was like, oh man, what am I doing? I'm just swinging around like crazy, hitting everything. I was going nuts. I was just smashing that button, hitting everything. And my God, it just got chaotic. I just love when, like, all of a sudden you face these golems and all of a sudden you see these birds. Like, how in the blue hell am I going to catch them damn birds? I mean, I can't jump that high. And these birds, they sing a song to you. They put you to sleep. And man, I took like 50 naps facing those damn birds.
Those are the harpies.
The harpies, my God. I hate those harpies, man. They put everybody to sleep. I mean, I fell asleep like 10 times. I'm like, oh no. Everybody was asleep. I was like, no. But either way, though, once they came down, I just said, oh, time to grab them. It's just swinging my sword and everything. But man, Mr. Boomstick, that Cyclops fight. That Cyclops fight, when you run into later on, you get into that big-ass Cyclops fight. Oh, my God. It was funny. It's like, oh, you need to grab the Cyclops with your bare hands to hold him off so the other guys can beat him. I was like, why in the blue hell am I going to grab this big-ass dude? I mean, he's going to flip me around like a piece of chicken. And guess what? He did that. He did flip me around. I mean, I was trying to grab him, like, take care of hold him. Keep him down. But everybody was just lashing him and everything. I was like, oh, no. No. Oh, the Medusa fight. Oh, the Medusa fight was great. That was actually the first time I climbed on the monster. And I was climbing up there, you know, because it's funny. I just love how the figurine looks when he's climbing. He's like hugging it, like climbing, like it's, I don't know how to describe it, just climbing on top of it. And once you get to the top, you know, you start stabbing it, impaling it. Oh, man, it feels, the game is just fantastic. It's just such a great adventure. The story, I'm still trying to understand what the heck is going on with that story. I don't know what the hell is going on. All I know is it's about a dragon that takes your heart, and because if it takes your heart, you're like a special dude. I'm like, okay, that's all I have to it. I'm not trying to give out spoilers, but that's in the beginning though. But yeah, other than that though, the game is fantastic. I just love getting the pawns, getting all the NPCs, because like you said, Mr. Wilson, you're fighting, but if there's NPCs around with you, they'll jump in and
they'll jump in. Yes,
enjoy the fight. That's crazy. And you made a mage. And guess what? I made a thief. I did not know how to make a mage. So I made a thief, and I called her Xena 2, which is funny.
Oh, that's hilarious, dude.
I was like, Xena, yes, let me get Xena, the warrior princess. Let's go. So I made my mage a thief, but then Sarbo told me later on I can switch her to mage. So
you can. Yeah, you can. Once you get to town, you can switch it up. Yep.
Yeah, but my team is with two thieves and a fighter. And I'll say, wait, my team is not balanced. No wonder these birds come at me. I should get a person with an arrow. I got to get a mage, and I got to get a thief. Wait, no. Mage? Is it mage? Arrow? No. I don't know what to do, but I got to form up my team. But, yeah, I got to make a team that you have to have, like, two long distance and two close-ups, right? Probably?
I mean, what I did is I took the fighter for me, Mrs. Boom, is the doppelganger of Mrs. Boom. She's a mage, so she does the healing and all the magical effects. I have an archer for distance, and I took a second fighter that's like big, burly, with this long sword that is as big as me, which is ridiculous. Again, you can have one of each. You can have all fighters if you want. I just like the magic and I like the distance. I got to get a better archer for sure.
Yeah, but me, like, I went into town. I was like, oh man, let me get some armor, and I accidentally bought the heaviest armor out there. I made a boo boo, and I sold off the skinny the light armor. So now I'm running around naked fighting these monsters. So I don't know what the heck I'm gonna do now.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
It's gonna be a fun adventure, but I gotta do it. I gotta get more money to buy light armor again. Because, man, I don't know why the heck I bought this heavy armor.
Well, yeah. the money doesn't come fast and furious until you start fighting. You know what you got to do? You got to go looking for things like abandoned houses, abandoned huts, abandoned campsites. You'll find, you know, you'll hit like a box and be like, oh, this is $1,000. Okay, yeah, I'll take that. And I think I have like 48,000 sell stuff. Yeah, too.
Sell a lot, combine stuff, sell them. It really does. The money comes really quickly.
It does.
Tips. All right. I love tips because really I'm having a problem not running around naked, you know. I gotta get hit really hard.
Listen, it's something you do in real life, so I don't see what's the problem, but it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. hey, let's bring in Gamsley and get your hot take on it. But before we get there, J Mac, who drops a very generous $2 super chat, says, is Dragon's Dogma a Souls-like game? No, it is not.
No.
It is more action adventure. Yes, you are fighting big beasts. Yes, there's going to be bosses. I mean, I seen like Pong Soul and I Still Reign fighting like dragons.
But it can be punishing though. I mean, there's points.
But the thing is, you do have a crew, and if you level up your crew and you give them like powers, it's not Souls like. It is nothing like a Souls like game where it's punishing to the point where you're banging your head against a wall. It's not. So I mean, it made me, hopefully that answers your question. But Gamsley, let's get your hot take on potentially an early game of the year in Dragon's Dogma 2, man.
Oh my God, where do I start with this game? So like, I when the first one came out, you know, I gave it a shot multiple times. It stood in my Steam library since it came out on Steam. Like that game was ahead of its time, and I think it was designed like. It's what games are going to try to do forever now. So yeah, if you like Elden Ring, you like Zelda Breath of the Wild, you like, you know, Witcher, this game is your best friend. It doesn't have the difficulty of Elden Ring, but it has the flavor of Witcher 3. It has the companion system of... It just has a great companion system. It's easy. It's easy to switch up. It gives you a lot of variety. If you hit a wall, it could probably be fixed with the right party members. So the pawns are really the gift here. You just search for higher level pawns. Of course, you have to pay for them. Or you have a high level buddy, add them to your friends list. You could get their pawns for free. So if you're like a level 10 and some other guy's a level 25, and you add them to your friends list, you could just grab that, and it's kind of like a curated difficulty curve. So you can make it as difficult or as easy as you really want to, as long as you have the right friends or the right currency, and you explore a lot. Yeah, man, go pick this up if you're an Elden Ring fan or you're a Witcher fan, a Skyrim fan, a Zelda fan. Just pick this game up. It's amazing. It's created from old school design elements. It's built on curiosity. It's built on, like, people that have this sort of innate attitude to explore things, and just go do this. It really... I'm struggling to find my words with it, because I really love how special these types of games are. Again, Breath of the Wild, Elden Ring, these games really do try to teach you curiosity again. Because I think in this world, we're a little bit... our focus starts to dwindle a lot. We start to get unfocused on so many things, because there's so many things to play. We want straightforward instructions. We're built on the Assassin's Creed icon thing, where in 2012, the icon thing wasn't fully adopted yet, so Dragon's Dogma 2 could, like, survive. 2012 was also a big year. That's why, you know, you get things like Mass Effect 3 that took the attention away. You get things like Halo 4 that probably took the attention away. 2012 took the attention away from this game, but it was really clairvoyant in its systems and its design. This is a special game. I love it. It teaches patience, and it teaches you how to be curious again. Jump into this game, be patient, be curious, walk around the corners, try things. You don't know how to get money, sell stuff, you know? You don't know how to get money, explore ways to try to get money, you know? Go around the corner, talk to NPCs, hire a lot of pawns. They're gonna tell you where treasure is. It has incredible mechanics, like your pawn is so important because your experience teaches it. So if you do a quest, it learns the quest. So if another person hires your pawn, he's going to know enemy types, he's going to know weaknesses, he's going to know locations of quests. Your pawn learns, even behaviors, picking up stuff. If you're a person that loves, like, picking up people and throwing them off cliffs, your pawn is going to pick up people and throw them off fucking cliffs. It's amazing. It's ahead of its time. Even now, I think it's going to teach devs that, hey, maybe we don't have to be so upfront with directions. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't have to be so upfront with quest markers. Maybe we could let the player learn things again. Maybe we could let the player be curious again. Maybe we could let the player have his own brain again, and not tell me, you know, where everything is and why you should go do the thing, like move boxes a certain way. So it just really does kick in that, oh my god, it just kicks in that intensity of, like, oh my god, I want to explore, I want to do, yes, this thing. Go play this game, please, and be patient with it. There's nothing I gotta say. I'm really jumbled because there's so much to say. I'm excited about it. This is why I love video games. These types, indeed, of RPGs, these types of action RPGs is why I love video games, and why I think certain publishers need to go back to this design philosophy. And I think us as players need to just chillax and you know, promote this style of game a little bit more. Push this type of game. Buy this game. Yes, it has frame problems. Yes, it does. In cities, it has frame problems. The CPU, yeah, usage is way overused. But because it has so much mechanics in the background, just like Starfield, just like Skyrim RPGs, just like blah, 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 there's going to be a lot of pressure on your CPU. It's something that's hard to fix, but please go support this game. Try it. If the game is great like this, as I said, FPS kind of goes to the background. It fades to nothing, and you just start to enjoy it. Go play this game.
Yep, great. Well said. Well said, indeed. Fuzzy, let's get your hot take on it. But before we do, Hargi Chani, what's going on? He's in the chat. He drops a very generous $5 super chat. a little slanderous. It's early, Hargeet, especially where you are. He says this. You know who doesn't have a game of the year this year? PlayStation. Zero awards last year. This year, they have no games, hoping Xbox at least has two game of the year noms. I actually think they're going to. I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is going to be a roles reverse. Sony with none. Microsoft, or specifically Xbox, maybe two, maybe even three, if some of these games are going to hit like we think they are. It's going to be very interesting for a lot of reasons for Game of the Year because of the Keelys. Keelys are going to be watch with a kind eye when some of the nominations come through for, like, for instance, I don't know, Hi-Fi Rush getting the nod because it's on PlayStation. Sea of Thieves getting the nod for best ongoing game because it's on PlayStation. Grounded getting the nod because it's on PlayStation and Switch potentially as being a game that is ongoing. We're going to see, and I'm going to watch with a kind eye. But Fuzzy, let's talk Game of the Year potential. Dragon's Dogma 2. What are your thoughts so far, man?
All right. So I didn't play the first one. And I played it
sparingly, so I'm right there with you.
Didn't play the first one at all. Saw a lot of the like early trailers and things like that, and saw that you can climb the monsters and still stab them and things like that. So that immediately was like, I gotta at least give this a try. Then they had the character creator, which it is so varied as far as you can make. Like, I've actually seen people's characters that they've made that are like celebrities. Like, somebody made a William Dafoe pawn. Somebody made a Arnold Schwarzenegger pawn. There's tons of like wrestlers that are pawns that you'll come across in the game from people's character creator ones. But the options just in that alone, you'll spend a couple of hours. If you're that type of person that wants to either recreate, you know, yourself or someone in your life in that game, you'll spend hours in that character creator alone. So that was like the good starting point. Went and purchased it. Sure, the microtransactions get a lot of the headlines. It is unfortunate that a lot of the reviewers didn't mention it, or they didn't notice it in the bylines or whatever from the documents that they've received from Capcom. All of that aside, after playing it for over 10, maybe what, 12 hours now or so, I'm like level 17 as well. There's no real need for those microtransactions. Everything that you can buy as a microtransaction, if you got the deluxe game, you already have a handful of those items already in your inventory. If you get the standard game, you'll come across those items as long as you're that type of person in an open world game where if the path is supposed to take you to the left, but you want to see what's down this pathway on the right, you'll find money, you'll find fairy coins or the fast travel coins that you can buy or the ones that are in the game. They are hard to come by, but if you like exploring like caves or a tunnel or a well, or if you hear like especially if you're traveling at night, it's not quite as dangerous as Dying Light or Dying Light 2 at night, but it does step up a good bit. Your visibility is reduced. It
gives you a challenge, dude, especially because what you don't see what's in front of you. You have the light that you keep on you, and it's pretty bright, but yeah, if you're running around in the dark, especially after midnight, you're going to come across, and you don't know how many are there. It can get a little spooky, to be honest with you.
Well, the funny thing is you hear the noises. You'll either hear the wolves howling, or you'll hear like it's rattling of bones, or you'll hear rustling in like the branches. Sometimes it might just be a wild pig. As long as you don't chop at them, they won't bother you, kind of thing. But yeah, traveling at night is a whole different level to this game. And the fact that it ramps it up a good bit at night makes you want to either camp at night or sleep at an inn and stay with the daytime. But it can get a lot more interesting because you'll have more variety of enemies, and the drops from those enemies are a lot more of those rarer items that you'll come across, like the revive shards or stones or whatever they call it. A lot more times those drop from like a Cyclops or like a, not a Banshee. I forget what the other thing is, but it's like, it's like half ape, half wolf kind of thing. And a lot of times you'll just hear them like breaking trees, kind of like what Mr. Boomstick said earlier. It's like you'll feel the ground shake, you'll hear some trees rustling, and all of a sudden you'll hear this thing growl, and they'll either try and drop kick you or stomp on you or something along those lines. But the key thing to remember, have a balanced group if you want. I haven't really loaded it too much on one side or the other. I went in as a fighter. I created a pawn in my wife's image as a mage.
And ah, that's always funny. We did the same thing.
And then I always wind up getting like a thief and a what do you call them? An archer as the other pawns that I find. Now you can buy some of the other ones. I think a lot of times those are going to be a little bit higher level or a lot more experience, but even some of the free ones that you'll encounter will have some of the like quest knowledge, like they'll know where some of the chests are.
Yeah.
So if you're running low on cash and they'll be like, "Hey master, I remember finding a chest like this with my other master or Fuzzy, or with, you know, on another mission."
Oh, sorry. You hit on it. Sorry. You know that why that happens, right? It's because that pawn's experience is learned from that experience. Okay.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yep. And that's and that's the awesome part about it. Cause like you'll see some of those pawns will have tokens based on like they've, you know, slayed so many Cyclops or they've, you know, spent so many nights at this particular town. So they know all the ins and outs of it. So you can look for those things in the additional details on the pawns. But a lot of times, like if you get ones that are your level or maybe one or two levels above you, a lot of times they'll help you with the quest marker. So there's no quest markers in the game except for in certain instances. But sometimes those come up actually from like the pawn. There'll be like a little hand or that will be on the pawn. And then maybe on the map, you'll see that and you'll want to follow them to that location because they're taking you because wherever they were in the previous game, whether it's the original creator's game or like even some of the Capcom ones that you can use, which are like their official ones. If you decide to do like an offline mode kind of thing. I think some of those even get the details of some of the missions. So they know where to go. They know where to point you to some of the, you know, chests and things like that. They may even know the best way to attack certain enemies. Like your enemy archers witnesses are going to help with the flying stuff. Your warriors, if they're leveled up or if not the warrior, I forget what the one is that's one step up from. Oh, no, the fighters or warriors will know how to attack like shielded enemies and things along those lines. And your mages or your sorcerers will set flying things on fire so they fall out of the sky or they'll set lightning for items that are like, especially like the lizard people that like to hang around water sometimes.
Yes.
And the lightning definitely, you know, stuns them and stops them from spitting at you or running away from you when you're swinging at them. But it's so dynamic as far as your character, well, your pawn learns and other pawns that you encounter learn from your experience. And the best thing, and I know a lot of people are like, well, what about the fast travel? Okay. Like I said, the fairy stone or whatever, you can find those in some well-hidden chests.
I found a couple already, dude. Like, honestly, I found, like, I think three.
Not to mention you can buy them.
So far, I found either five or six, and I've used two. And I still got, like, three or four left. So they're not as hard to come by as you may think. I think the revive shards are a little bit harder if you don't venture out as much at night. And you hopefully won't need them as much if you have pawns that are on your same level or better, depending on your particular like task or whatever proficiency you choose. Some are best to be in the face of the enemies. Some are best to, you know, stand back. So your mage or your sorcerer, your archer, they probably are better from a long distance range. You know, stay back, keep them protected. Make sure your mage can heal everybody and things like that, or remove any blight that some of the other enemies may cast on you as you get later in the game. But your warrior, your thief, your fighter, get in their face. If they're a bigger enemy, crawl on them. And sometimes you may have to sheathe your weapon to crawl higher because you might just like crawl to like waist height or something. You got to get around to their back, crawl up, and then like stab them in the back of the neck. Or if you're on the ground and it's one of like the Cyclops or something like that, keep chopping their ankles. Just keep chopping their ankles until they fall.
And then once they fall back, you can jump on them and start stabbing away. It is, you know, what's interesting also, guys, is, you know, we keep hearing the word dynamic. The environmental stuff, the damage that you can do, like, for instance, I haven't done it. I saw someone do it. They had like a bunch of like these, like those lizard people coming across a bridge, and he cut the bridge and they dropped and died. And I'm like, holy shit, are you kidding me?
And
there was one where I was fighting a group of them. I jumped off the top of a rock and I cut his tail off with one. Like, and the tail's flopping around like, oh my God, I just cut that dude's tail off. Holy crap.
And it's so dynamic that your pawn learns that stuff and will tell the other people. He'll be like, if your pawn gets to another guy, he'll be like, cut that bridge down, and you'll cut the bridge down. Like, that's how you learn, and that's why it's so amazing. Anyways, I can't even stop. I can't stop.
Oh, Lord. Wait, there's so much you can do in this game, but wait.
Oh, dude, it is... It's limitless. It is so limitless.
It teaches, like I said, Louis, it really does promote curiosity. Curiosity. So like, if you're curious about something, hey, I want to cut that down. Does this work? It rewards that. And that's what's so freaking amazing. It's more than just...
Oh my God! You can do that much of things in this game. Seriously, just hearing y'all now makes me want to jump in there, run around naked, and cut off bridges. Yeah.
Curiosity in this game is key.
It is, yeah. The more you explore, the more that you start doing things. Like, for instance, a lot of people were mad at me because I had taken a video of the when you cook. And I'm like, my God, that looks real. It actually is real. I didn't know that. People are actually mad at me. Like, hey, boom, FYI, it's real. I'm like, well, you know what? Sorry I wasn't in class when they told me they were going to have real freaking footage. Sorry, I missed that.
It's a hawk ribeye, baby.
So, Fuzzy, what happens at night? Because you mentioned something about nighttime. Does nighttime bigger bosses come out? Something
more? It's a little bit more difficult because, he's right. It seems like... The variety goes up, the more frequent enemies come out, I do feel like it's not ridiculous, but it's definitely a pinch above when you're fighting during the day.
So you get more enemies, that means more XP, more money too.
Of that. Yes.
Oh, man. I'm going streaking in the nighttime. That's what I'm going to do.
goblins and stuff love the night.
My goodness. Yeah, that's funny. Shout out to Wade Johnson in the chat. He says, I hate you guys. Now I have FOMO.
Oh, and by the way, chat, if you need more, if you're like, oh, well, warrior, mage, blah, 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 that doesn't sound appealing. Guys, there's 12 classes, and you can find them and get taught by them.
Yeah,
so,
you absolutely can.
Curiosity, baby.
Yeah, the more you look, the best thing we can say before we bring in Crispy Bomb is the more you play of this game, the more adventurous you are. Listen, if you are a color by numbers gamer, nothing wrong with that. Follow the story, and you're gonna get a lot. You're gonna get a lot out of it because as you're going through the story, you are unlocking things. If you are a curious gamer, if you're like me that you see the world and the world is what it is and it's big and it's vast and you know on the right here. That you haven't gone there, but you want to see what's over there. And on the way there, you look to the left and that's over there. See, I go on a mission. I'm point A, point B is right down the road. And before I'll spend 4 hours going everywhere before point B. I saw a hut. I saw a well. I saw a cave. Oh, of course, the bridge broke. I fell down. Don't jump in the water because there's instant death. There's like this.
Are you feeling fatigued by that, though?
No. No,
and why I asked that is because it's a natural, feel. It's indeed. Like, oh my God, I want to walk there in Assassin's Creeds or Horizon Forbidden, who gives a crap. it tells you where everything is and it causes paralysis on it and it's not natural. So the checklist games, this is not it.
So I got a question though, because man, every time I see my guy dirty, I was like, man, I want to take a shower, I want to bathe. Is there anywhere to bathe though? I mean, is he always dirty?
I don't know about bathing. I know if you jump in the water, you're dead.
I already did that because I was like, oh man, let me jump in there, let me get all this dirt off. No. This red thing came in.
So no one can swim in this game.
I know there's no swimming because there's like these creatures that are like instant death. They suck your soul and that's
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you can kind of, as long as you can get to land before you get more than your shoulders in the water, you can get out of it. But
yeah, you can get out, but it's
gotta move quick.
Sounds
like Alien Isolation or something.
I mean, listen, Quanta Terrible says, you guys got to stop calling Game of the Year before this year is over. Listen, it's my Game of the Year so far. I'm not ashamed to say that. I mean, I said that about Elden Ring, and Elden Ring was my Game of the Year. So I know some people think Final Fantasy Rebirth is theirs. Great. Awesome. If you enjoy that game, good on you. I don't think that.
Last year mine was RoboCop. I love RoboCop. So
nothing wrong with that. No, this game is special. It is special because it is so unlike anything you've played in years. And the closest, we don't get games like this that often, but we kind of do, because Elden Ring was a couple of years ago. And that was special, and it was just Zelda. Zelda Breath of the Wild, too. You can't, that's another one, man. It's special. But listen, let's bring in Crispy Bomb. Crispy, what are you currently playing? I know that it is not Dragon's Dogma 2. Hopefully, the FOMO gets you. I don't know. What are you playing, dude?
The FOMO won't get me, Boom. I love you guys to death, but you also kind of told me what I was thinking.
Okay.
You know, like, purchasing pawns, stupid things like that to have an advantage. I'm not down for that. I will leave it at that.
Microtransaction pawns. It's in-game currency stuff.
It's in-game currency. Yeah. You don't get real-world money for that.
But here's the thing, though, Crispy. If you might have the pawns, though, but trust me, advantage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like I told you, I was fighting a big-ass Cyclops.
Regardless of that. It doesn't really matter. I don't have time for a game like this.
Okay? Yeah, it's a time sink.
I'm playing an RPG I've been playing for years now because, you know, I find time when I do, like Fallout 4. And I see what you guys are saying. I think they're advancing AI faster than we realize. And this is not only a great thing, but also a concerning thing. I went back, you know, it's been like 6 months since I've been back in Fallout 4. They gave me a multi-megabyte update. And then I play the game, and it's literally straight from off my save. So I start, you know, checking on my settlements, whatever, because I have like 13 of them, and I'm going through them, and they look exactly the way I want them to. And then I start interacting like with the AI that I used to think I knew, and I don't know anymore, because like I go to back to Sanctuary, the original spot that you can make, and it's my largest settlement. It does everything. Everything runs through Sanctuary. And I go back and I go to a part of the level that I never went to because at that time I experienced going against like whatever animal aspect of AI was like way higher level than me. So now I go back a long time later. And I go to, it's like an Oceanic Institute, which is right, it's literally right there. And you're basically on the ocean. And there's nobody to talk to. When I start hitting these Murlurks that are, they're kill claws, which I've never seen in the game. Okay, maybe people have, fine by you. I'm walking into this, and keep in mind, I have an XO1 suit. I mean, the thing is incredible, but also it requires fusion cores, which as far as long, I'm like level like 38 or 39. I've like went to like everything I could and I still find more. And I go there and I don't have my suit on because I don't want to just explore near one of my settlements and use a fusion core. And I go there and these things go absolutely ham on my companion. Absolutely ham. And they literally down him in like 2 seconds. And I'm sitting there, and I've got all the way. I got the Fat Boy. I got a 50 cal. I got all the weapons you could ever want. The one thing that I don't have, which I believe would have helped, was the flame flower. That was on my companion. That was down and surrounded by four of them. So I say, okay, I don't have my suit. Let me start backing up. I'm shooting these things, and I'm shooting them not on the back. They're coming at me, and I'm shooting them right where you need to shoot them. And it takes six shots of a 50 cal sniper rifle to down them. And then the other ones are coming, and they start strafing. Like I've experienced, like in Gears or something. And I'm like, I haven't seen this. And I say, man, this is challenging now. And all I remember is that I went and looted a church with a pew that was very narrow, and I knew the AI would have trouble to go up there. That's where it was. I was nearly dead. Took like 12 stim packs. I run up the pew. They kind of chill out, but you know, obviously my companion, you know, came back up once they got off of him and they were chasing me. So then he starts fighting again, and I'm shooting them right where they should be shot, because I'm using VATs up on a pew on the church. And it takes me a half an hour to kill them because they start hiding behind things and stuff and just sitting there and not letting me, like, you know, target. So then I'm trying to shoot them with my sight, obviously. I was like, I haven't experienced this before. And don't get me wrong, I understand the levels, like there's survival, there's all these other things. I'm at the same level as I've always been. I'm just continuing my game. So there's something else going on. And it's not just what they did. It's what the human element did before that. They were hiding behind trees and stuff. And I was like, man, they did something here. And I love the challenge. Don't get me wrong. Because I played the game for years. I have this experience that I know. But I was like, there's something they're adding here that we don't see. And you guys got it, like, with the pawn. It might be on your side, but I think, like, the way, like, these games are thinking is it's a living world. And I think all these RPGs are going to be super, like, if you get grabbed by one, it's going to be super hard to move away from it. And I think that's incredible, but also a little scary at the same time.
No, I mean, listen, the stories you're telling, brother, are exactly the stories that we're all experiencing in Dragon's Dogma 2. And your experiences, which sound dope, are from a game that's super old. And mind you, we still don't even have the next gen update, which supposedly is on the way. Look, at the end of the day, folks, gaming is supposed to be fun. I know there's a lot of people in here like, oh, you didn't sell me the microtransactions. Look, they're there. I'm not trying to hide that. I don't think anyone's trying to hide that. You do not need them. This is a single player game. It is not pay to win. You can find everything that's available. I have found everything twice over, and I'm just playing the game. If the microtransactions bother you that much, don't buy them. Don't support also, that kind. Yeah.
Also, RPG fans, this is not Skyrim type RPG, right? There's not actual choice and consequence that heavy in the game. You will, for instance, miss out on quests. You do have time limits on certain quests, like on a freaking Monday, you know, this will happen. This guy walks across the street, and if you miss him, you miss him. And that could, that's like very RPG. That's the only thing you could like miss and like regret. Also, I believe there's another ending too, or something like that. So depending on what, you know, you kind of do or main quests you do or don't do, that will vary. But RPG fans, this is not that type of RPG, but it is very dynamic, and you will always have something different to see.
I think everyone's going to have a different story. That's the fun part of it. But look, I want to get into, of course, one of the main topics of today, and that is, of course, Grand Theft Auto 6 delay and what that could mean for the next-gen hardware for Xbox, which is expected to release in 2026. Now, again, two different perspectives, so I want to put it out there. The first, one of the first reports came the way of Dextro, they got the story via Kotaku. Which again, I mean, I'm not gonna pull a Kotaku article because I don't like them. But the story that Dextro ran is that they say GTA 6 could be pushed back until 2026 due to production reportedly falling behind currently. Now, a lot of people did run with this story. I believe VGC also ran a story. Let's see, Games Radar, Complex. Let me see. There are a few more that are here that I want. That I don't use everyone's stuff, but I will use WCCF Tech. I have their story in front of me. This was written by Nathan Birch on March 22nd, folks. The lead story or the lead byline is Grand Theft Auto 6 reportedly falling behind its early 2025 target, potentially slipping into 2026. And the story goes on to read, last December, after literally years of speculation, rumors, and leaks, Rockstar finally dropped its first teaser. Well, they didn't drop it. Someone dropped it because it was leaked before they actually put it out there. And they had a broad 2025 release date attached to it. It was appropriate that the GTA 6 trailer used a Tom Petty song because the waiting is indeed the hardest part, but at least fans had a firm 2025 goal in sight, but that's no longer the case. According to a new report from Kotaku, Rockstar's current goal is to finally get Grand Theft Auto 6 into the hands of gamers by early 2026, but currently production is falling behind where it needs to be, and the release date may well slip into late 2025 or possibly, folks, early 2026. Now, according to the story that I have in front of me, once again, by WCCF Tech, they go on to say, apparently, pushing it to 2026 is just the emergency plan right now. But, well, sometimes emergencies do happen. As of now, they aren't any changes to the plans for GTA 6's PR rollout, according to the story. Now, there is someone that is on Twitter, or X for you you boomers, if you will, that follow the rules. His name is Detective. That one detective with a 3 at the end for an E. And he actually, well, who is the detective? Well, I don't know who he is. I am following him now. He has 30,000.8 followers. He is following 337. Now, what is that? Does that make him an insider? Well, not necessarily, but he is pretty popular. So I scroll through a lot of what he was doing. And he does. He has been talking about Grand Theft Auto quite a bit. And he's been covering it for a while. So what he said, folks, in his tweet, and this is the other side of it, where he doesn't believe there's going to be a delay. And he says, reasons why an early 2025 launch is still likely for Grand Theft Auto 6. Kotaku confirmed this is still the current plan. Employees returning to the office to avoid delays. That's something big going on with Rockstar. No more out of office or remote development of this game. They want everybody on site. That is something I don't know if anyone's going to have a problem with, but yes, people are getting back into the offices. He goes on to say GTA 6 is entering the last stage of development per Jason Schreier's report. A person who predicted the entire reveal trailer said it's releasing in early 2025. That is an insider. I don't know. I do not know who they are talking about, but well, he mentioned it. He also goes on to say Rockstar has changed internally on and only announces games when they're almost finished. He finally goes on to say the release dates are always subject to change, but I believe we're still looking at Q1, Q2 release frame for this game. Now, this is where we get into speculation town. I'm going to go first to Fuzzy Belvedere, who is our tech guy on boots on the ground. So my thought and theory was, if this gets delayed to 2026, it's an advantage for Xbox. And I say that because if Xbox's next console is slated, which is supposed to be the big boy, the one that is supposed to, according to Sarah Bond, leaps and bounds better than we've ever seen in a generational upgrade, that is the rumored year. They are going to jump Sony by 12 months, potentially 18, even by 2 years, especially if Sony's PlayStation 5 Pro releases this holiday. I would imagine they're going to continue production on that for quite some time and obviously continue to make tweaks of it to get better use out of the added specs for the Pro. And with that said, that potentially moves Sony's PlayStation 6, if there's going to be one, to 2027 or 2028. So let's just take for shits and giggles here, a Fuzzy Belvedere, if this game is delayed, if it is going to be delayed into 2026, because remember, the rumor for Xbox's next console is 2026, but is it, you know, is it Q26, which is the end of 2025 going into 26? That's how these things work. They don't follow the same 12-month pattern. It ends in June, starts July 1st to the other July. That July runs through both years. So if they're looking potentially at a 2025 release at the end, maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's first quarter. I don't know. We'll have to see. But if that, in fact, is the case, I think that is advantage Xbox because Rockstar will be developing for the best console available. That will not be the PlayStation 5 Pro. That will be the Xbox, whatever. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the possibility of a delay, I think the year 2026 is going to be the year of the sixes. We're going to have probably Forza Horizon 6 that same year.
Yep.
We'll probably have Gears 6 that same year. And we'll probably have Grand Theft Auto 6 that same year. Who knows? We may even see Elder Scrolls 6 around that time as well. But I think in the grand scheme of things, Rockstar has been known for the delays. And if they've already put 25 as their target for their trailer, we all remember when Grand Theft Auto 5 was saying something like, I think it was like 2012, I think it was when it was supposed to come out, and it didn't come out until like 2013 or something. So it was like a full year further than what the original trailer stated. So with this most recent trailer saying 25, I could see it being in either late 2025 or early 2026. Now it comes down to the timing for Xbox. I don't know if their 2026 will be like first quarter or if it'll be kind of like where it usually is, where it winds up being at like in fiscal year 20, not fiscal year 26, but the year 2026, it'll be sometime around November-ish in time for the holidays. Even with it being months after that release, I still think people knowing that there's going to be a next-gen version available that soon, right after its release, and more than likely it'll be able to uplift whatever is out there for the Series X as well as the PS5 and PS5 Pro, it'll probably, without them really having to go in there, it'll automatically probably be ready to do the 60 frames because of it being a bump or increase in CPU in comparison to this gen. Now, the 10% uplift that the Pro is having is not really going to do much as far as frames. It'll do more so for the visuals. But I think when it comes to Xbox coming out in 26, that will be the go-to game for, you know, that launch, along with whatever else they have prepared for that launch. But I think at that point, a lot of people that, let's say they pick it up, you know, in January of 26, because that's when it comes out. I think a lot of people will wind up picking it up on Xbox. If Xbox holds true to their, you know, kind of like paying it forward type of deal, you pick it up on your Series X or your Series S, and then you upgrade later in that year, around November, to the next gen console, you'll automatically be able to have whatever, you know, hardware benefits are in there without Rockstar really having to do much. And then more than likely you'll have either a patch or they'll try and resell the game, you know, as like an upgrade for the,
you know, they'll do that, man. They love money.
Yeah, because they sold you a copy for PS3 and Xbox 360. They sold you a copy for PS4 and Xbox One. And then they sold another copy for PS5 and Series X and S. So, yeah, they'll probably wind up making a more tailored to the next gen one. But I think if people are looking for 60 frames, I think the hardware that we'll probably see from Xbox in the next gen for the 2026 window will probably take that Series X and S version and be able to push it to 60 frames. And at that point, it will be the only console readily available to do 60 frames. Now, how soon will they put it on PC? They probably won't put it on PC until almost that following year. So that'll give Xbox at least a three-month, four-month window of where they're the only way to play that game at 60 frames. So I can definitely see it happening. I would be surprised if the game actually launches on time in 2025, just because it's Rockstar and I don't think they've ever released a game on time. Now, remasters, a little bit different story, but actual new titles, I don't think they've released the game on time since Grand Theft Auto 1 or 2. And even those, I think, were delayed because of not licensing, but regulatory stuff and whatnot. But it'll work out in Xbox's benefit. We'll see if they wind up having to make another version for that console. But I think the one that'll be for the series and series consoles and the PS5 will be able to reach 60 on that next gen Xbox. So
look forward to it. I agree. Abdel114 says Grand Theft Auto 4 was also delayed from 2007 to 2008. And I'm pretty sure that happened several times with Red Dead Redemption, if I'm not mistaken. So I agree. Listen, they want to put out a game that will run as perfect as they can get it. I don't think that we're going to get online immediately either. I think that this game is going to be so big and so graphically impressive that I don't see 60 frames at jump. I just don't. I think you're going to get 30. You're going to get a lock 30. Maybe they give you an unlocked or 60 when it releases for PC. Maybe that's a year later. Maybe that's further. I don't know. But you're going to get it on console. You're going to get it on new hardware. Potentially, again, if it's delayed into 2026, it would be pretty damn impressive that if that hardware is as powerful as Sarah Bond is suggesting it is, then we are definitely going to have a chance where that could, again, it's pure speculation, folks, that version could run at 60 if the hardware allows for it and they work closely with Xbox on the next console, which of course they will. Pure speculation, but like I said, I do think, Gamsley, that it's advantage Xbox if this game is delayed. I really do, and I think that they will have a shot at having this game launch on new, more powerful hardware. Again, according to Sarah Bond, leaps and bounds from what we've ever seen in generational leaps. What do you think, Gamsley?
Yeah. So a lot of games have been running into issues with CPU usage and optimization. Yep. And for these huge, large worlds like this and Dragon's Dogma 2, as we are seeing, the bottleneck on the CPU is really hard to get around. So, I mean, when we talked about this last time and it landing with PS5 Pro or near it, we're like, that's a huge advantage for PS5, blah, blah, blah. Now seeing the specs of the Pro, it's kind of like, okay, well, if the CPU is only 10% boosted, then it doesn't really necessarily matter if the graphics card is a little bit better or 20% better, 15, 30, doesn't really matter. As we've seen, CPU is important. So if the next Xbox, the CPU has AI generation and all this stuff integrated with it, and the graphics card has that stuff, and the CPUs are more powerful because it's 2 years, of course they'll be more powerful, and it drops within that console's range, then yeah, it's a big advantage for Xbox hardware wise if it could take advantage of that. The more I think about it, the more I think 60 FPS is just wishful thinking at this point. Again,
yeah, I agree.
Just sheerly off of CPU. Just sheerly off of that, because we know damn well if DD2 can't run off these CPUs properly and these GPUs, I doubt they could hit 60 on them in Grand Theft Auto. Mind you, there is a lot going on in the background with DD2. We don't know how sophisticated and how much you can do in Grand Theft Auto 6 yet, but if 5 is any indication, we're going to need beastly CPUs and beastly GPUs and really good AI magic in the background, which I think Xbox has been, or Microsoft and Xbox have been really pushing. So we could guarantee they will have some sort of integration with that. We'll see if Rockstar could or use those tools or not. We'll see. But good news for Xbox fans if it comes closer to a more powerful console and you could play it easier and you could, you know, sing the praises of whatever FPS you want to sing. And if not, you know, I don't think it necessarily matters anyways if a pro comes out, because this game is gonna hurt CPUs.
The bottleneck issue is going to be a problem even with the PlayStation 5 Pro. You've heard Digital Foundry talk about it. It's the same chip. And all of the extra, that's why when they said that, you know, it's going to have 33 teraflops, everyone's like, oh my God, you see, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's great, you know, the teraflops. But the problem is it's the same CPU, and the CPU is going to have bottleneck. That's the problem.
Can I just, a lot of people are like, Sony games are 60 FPS and something, 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 something. Listen, I don't care how many Sony games can run at 60 FPS. They are not doing the same freaking things. They're just not doing the same things in the background. GTA 6 is a different game. GTA 5 is a different game than Sony games. Like, I mean, DD2 is a different game than Sony games. DD2 is doing much more than every single Sony game combined. So in the background, it doesn't matter how pretty the foreground looks. The background mechanics are the problem. And for GTA 6, there's going to be a lot of background mechanics going on. So I doubt these CPUs can handle it as much as you think they can.
I agree. I mean, listen, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, one of the main issues with the PlayStation 5 Pro releasing is that they don't have any games to show it off, which I think is just foolhardy, in my opinion. I mean, they're going to release it. That 10% of PlayStation 5 gamers who are considered the diehards are going to go buy it. Good on you. I'm not buying it. I don't need it. I have my PlayStation 5 works fine. They don't have anything to show it off. They don't have anything first party because they told us that it's unlikely to have anything third party, because why would you show off third party and not first party? That doesn't make any sense. But if that's for you, good on you. I think it's going to be minimum 600. I think that Sony's going to be funny, and they're going to do what they always do. It might be 649. It might be 700. Who knows? It's Sony. Nothing would surprise me. But listen, Crazy Lou Gaming, let's get your hot take on this. Again, all speculation, two different points of views. One thinks that it's a delay. The other does not think it's a delay. But if it happens to be delayed into 2026, I think that is advantage Xbox next gen. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is that it does get delayed. Xbox should grab a hold of that to promote their next console with that game in it.
We still don't know who has marketing. Everyone seems to think it's Sony because it's Sony. I don't necessarily think so, man. I don't know.
It all depends. I mean, we're just gonna have to wait and see. But I do hope that Xbox actually grabs that and does marketing with it, especially with their next gen console, if it does get delayed. Because that's the thing, though. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. I know we have had this discussion before about games releasing. I'll give you an example with the whole Forza Motorsport. You know, I was one of the people that said I wanted it to be delayed. Another game that should have been delayed was Redfall. I always said it should have been delayed to October. But with all that damn pressure that they had, they released that game the way it did. And now look what happened in October. They got their patch, and now it runs better. So the thing is with GTA, I want it to be full experience. I want it to be the way it has to be. I want it to be 60 FPS. I want it to run great. I want it to look great. So why the heck not? Delay it if you have to. Take your time. Just don't delay it to 2035, because right then and there we're gonna be old as hell. I mean, the other day I remember when they showed the trailer, but it's like, oh, I remember when GTA 5 was released, and people were showing the pictures, you know, 15 years younger, like, oh, look, I have more hair, now I have no hair, stuff like that. Just delay it to 2026 is fine. Release it with the console, and yes, release it full as it has to be, releasing the 60 FPS, 4K native, so we can all enjoy it. That's how I want it to be. I mean, when I saw it was 30 FPS, I was like, ah, not another 30 FPS game, which, of course, I don't notice it because people are like, oh, it's 30, it's 60. But when I turn on the TV, I don't notice those frames. You know, I don't go nuts about those frames. Of course, I know 60 runs smoother. Yeah, I've seen a little bit of that. But I just don't notice it as much. But either way, though, if it's going to take advantage with the new generation, go for it. Delay it, because hey, I mean, with that trailer, it looks beautiful.
Hey, Louis, where were you 15 years ago? Were you in jail or?
Hopefully not.
No. I wasn't in jail. What was I doing 15 years ago? I got to sit back and run back and look at my 15 years back. I was probably going nuts. I don't know.
15 years ago, I was 15 years ago. I was in my 15th year as a New York City police officer, still chasing the radio. that's a long time ago. Look. Let me catch up with Super Chats before we bring in Crispy Bomb. We have Nino Vistic, who's been a channel member for 5 months. He says, aloha, panel, and boom. Hope everyone is well. Aloha to all gamers. Hope everyone is safe and playing games. Mahalo. Hey, brother. Mahalo to you. And aloha from, well, New Rochelle, New York, brother. Thank you for the very kind words. As always, hopefully you and the fam are doing well in your side of the world. Appreciate you being here. As always, we have BT Maverick 707 drops a very generous $5 super chat. He says, can someone make a pawn that can purposely screw you over? Thank you, guys. I'm still on the fence on this game, but I picked up Forza Horizon Forbidden West on PC Deck. Wow. Yeah, actually, shout out to K. Asante. He found it for, I think he said, for like $40 brand new for the PC release of Horizon Forbidden West. He said on the Steam Deck it looks godlike, and I don't doubt it. That game is gorgeous. It really is just a gorgeous looking game. Yeah, if you are a PC person, or you know, PC MR, the game is there for you. And you know what, good on Sony, man. I mean, obviously they need to bring their games. It would behoove them to do Day and Date. It really would. I don't know how long it's going to take. Obviously, they saw all the money that came in from the Bugs game. Oh my God, I can't think of it.
Helldivers 2?
Yes, thank you, sir. Helldivers 2. And they made a lot of money on PC from it. And you know what? They need to do that moving forward. Hopefully, that will be something that they look for. And again, if you're a PC person that does not want to buy a PS5, I think it behooves them to sell copies. I think Spider-Man would have done a lot better if it would have. And again, it did sell 10 million copies, you know, and that's not bad. But they would have sold so much more on PC. So hopefully that's something that we see moving forward. Shout out to Ultraman, who drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, "Hey, Boom, you stole my ship design. I'm telling Mrs. Boom, you're in trouble now. LOL. What's up, guys? Fuzzy." Ultraman, thanks so much for the generosity, brother. Super appreciate you being here. JJ Saiyan 117 drops an outstanding $2 super chat and says GTA 6, Elder Scrolls 6, and Blade will be a cool launch titles. Listen, you're not wrong. As a matter of fact, look, the Toys for Bob story we're not going to get to today. Don't sweat it, because tomorrow I'm sitting down with Steel Rain and, of course, Infinite Umbra. We may actually have a guest join us as well. We're going to cover that. There's some new information from Bethesda regarding what they're doing and how they're currently working on Elder Scrolls that was dropped by Hazardor Gaming. It's starting to make its round on the socials. We're going to talk about that as well as the Toys for Bob story tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because we are running to like close to the 90-minute mark, and I really got some stuff to do before Mrs. Poom comes home after work. Gamer by Choice drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, "I wonder what consoles GTA 6 gets optimized for." I mean, I mean, here's a thought. Here's a theory. It's unlikely. It's unlikely, folks. But could GTA 6 end up on Switch 2? I don't think so.
No.
But I mean, they could get Grand Theft Auto 5. I mean, they could. I mean, we'll see. Wolf of Darkness drops a very generous. I believe it's $17.99 AED. Wolf of Darkness, brother, great to see you back, and thank you for the generosity. He says, hey, boom, awesome show and panel. Thank you so much for that. My son, Sultan, keeps bugging me about when the next Xbox is going to drop, brother. I really, look, the next Xbox, I think, based on what we're going to talk about tomorrow with the more information on the portal, I think we're getting a portable this holiday. It's a shot in the dark, folks. Could I be wrong? Well, more than likely I am. I think that we are going to get new hardware as a portable this fall. I think 2026. I think it's only going to be one SKU. I really do. I think they're going to get away from the two SKU thing. Unless it's an updated portable that I think is releasing. And again, it's just pure speculation for this fall. It would be pretty dope of a year if you get Indiana Jones, you get a Hellblade, you get an Avowed, you get all of these games, these first-party games, and you get a handheld this year. Holy crap, that would be amazing. But we'll see. I think the next official, quote-unquote, Xbox is 2026. I really do. I really think that's going to be the big boy that Sarah Bond was talking about. But Crispy Bomb, let's talk Grand Theft Auto 6. Do you think that it's an advantage for Xbox if it is, in fact, delayed into 2026 with new hardware potentially releasing?
Well, let's think about it for a second. Strauss, you know, the person that oversees,
Strauss Zelnick. Yeah, he's the head honcho.
He oversees
2K.
All yep. of what they do. Okay. Yep. Now they have their annual releases, those mostly sports games or something like that they get revenue from. But they've been cooking on Grand Theft Auto yep. 6 for a very, very long time.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, they are a large enough company to say, you know what? I don't like what Microsoft's doing buying ABK. They said the opposite. Why did they do that? That's a question that we may never know. But why did Strauss come out publicly and say, I support this? Isn't that interesting? I have a challenge for people. And this is something that I've only realized a while ago, but it's a small while ago. It's like a year ago. And I said, why would, you know, Rockstar, 2K partner with Microsoft? Do they have something better? Because regardless of what people think, GTA 5, the GTAs before them, were all role-playing games. You could still make your choices. You could still screw up, right? You were playing as a single individual, or in certain instances, you could make a character. They have done all of that. How do you navigate making your GTA 6 worth 10 years of people's time? Because that's they've done it. Think about it. GTA 5. Prime example. Okay. How do you do that? And you have the leak that you had. Okay. Which, by all means, as far as visual wise, looked really good. I'm not going to lie. But you're not making visual wise, you're making gameplay and you're making choices. How do you go about that and make it your game costing billions of dollars probably? Is going to supersede time and say it's going to go at least 10 years, which a decade is a long time. How do you do that? You partner with somebody that says, oh, we've already seen this. And that's where I go and say, if this delay does happen, which it's all speculation, if it does happen, and there is a next-gen Xbox console in 2026, who did they really partner with? Because it's coming out on console. Now, think about that, though, because they integrate into PC always. I mean, technically, Microsoft started gaming publishing with PC. They understand that realm. And what did I describe earlier? Something I've not experienced in a game that I've played for years. Isn't that interesting? These are things that not only are plausible deniability, because Microsoft could be like, hey, we said regulators, come over here. Okay? They've already said this. Brad Smith said it. Hey, we need regulation. Okay? They have all of that. They are not being sued right now by the UK government. All right? Everybody else is. Apple, Amazon,
yeah, they all sure of are. Them. Everybody's getting, is getting
and,
that.
And
that.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's almost like they foresaw this problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, AI, I mean, we are, the gaming community is the first ones that said AI, artificial intelligence. Okay? We are one of the first that ever said, like, hey, this is not a human that's playing against me. This is an artificial intelligence.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And how do you push such narratives? Think about it. You push them by showing people that, hey, AI is not as bad as you think. You can watch Terminator and think this, but really it's that. But also, we're the company that said, hey, regulators, you got to get into this. And they're worried about purchases. How about what has going to happen? Like everybody says, you got to look to the future. Well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about companies that are going to use AI to replace people in the workforce. It's going to happen. It sucks. It's terrible. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen robots try to cut meat like I can, and they can't do it. So I'm good. But there's a lot of jobs that could be at jeopardy at some point. And that's why Microsoft said, we need regulation. And I don't see enough of it. And that's where I go and say, the Rockstar is probably like, hey, Microsoft, you have hit all the narratives that we need to hit. And you also are pushing innovation in a way that other companies are reluctant to do. And that's where it's, you know, like the simplistic values of certain companies. That's not up to us as a consumer. It's up to what we consume as a human being and say, you know what? This is pretty special. And this is different than what I've experienced. Is it the worst thing? Does it not challenge your mind? Does it not make you think about things before you do them? Those are good things. Sorry. If you think about what you're doing before you do it, even if it's in a game, that is a challenge of your mental capacity. And that is something that I feel AI could do for us. But at the same time, there's no worries about it lately. Everybody's doing their own AI, and some of them could be rogue. It's concerning to me as a human being. I don't know where we're going with that. But at the same time, as far as gaming, we have done this. We have talked about it. We have seen different AIs developed within games. We just don't realize that that's where we're at now. You can have an AI that renders into a different aspect and say, okay, you're running at this point in time. Hey, involve AI in it, and it renders and also has the frames per second. And it basically, instead of 30, it's 40 or 60. And it renders at that point at real time and chooses what you think is valuable.
Well, we don't know what they're going to do. I would imagine that in the next console, at least hearing what Microsoft is doing, especially with OpenAI, that is going to be a huge part of the next console. I think that, again, this if we have to go all the way back to where we started. If this game is delayed, I do think it's going to be an advantage for Xbox simply because the next console is going to do a lot of what Crispy's saying. It is going to be AI-based. It is going to have onboard AI functioning and helping, again, off potentially taking the heavy lifting away from a lot of the GPU and CPU. We will certainly see. But look, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a magnificent 90 minutes. Great conversation all around. Let me just get the last super chat here. Anonymous Boss drops an outstanding $5 super chat. He says, hello, panel and chat. PlayStation are going to make the ultimate remake. It's called the PlayStation 5 Pro console remake. Same power as the Xbox. What are we doing here? I mean, listen, it is going to be a pinch more powerful in certain areas. Again, with the T-flips and the T-floppity flips, as everyone likes to kind of run around with. Again, when it was Xbox's favor, it was like T-flops don't matter. Now that it's Sony's in Sony's favor, now it matters. Again, it's just talking points, folks. Look, it's going to have the same CPU. It's going to be bottleneck city. I don't know what they're going to do to fix that. I don't know what they're going to have to show off why you should buy a Pro. Again, enthusiasts, the diehards will go out and buy this $600 plus console. And if you want to buy it, good on you. I'm not buying it. They don't have anything out now. Could they surprise us? Sure. But it's not going to be first party because they told us so. And they told their investors they don't have any first party stuff. I mean, even some of the reports were like, yeah, I don't know so much about releasing a new console with no hardware, because they did browbeat the H out of Xbox when they released the Xbox One X with no games other than the Fox game with I think it was Tails or whatever it was. Yeah, not great, especially not first party. But again, hopefully you enjoyed the show enough to hit the like button. If you're finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. You just got to hit the subscribe button. We'd greatly appreciate it. Let's get to outros. We'll start first with Crazy Lou Gaming. Brother, sell your brand of the Xbox International podcast. Where can people tune in each and every week? And more importantly, follow you doing, well, crazy things on the socials. Talk about it, brother.
All right, Mr. Boomstick. Awesome show today. Thank you all, chat. Thank you all for hanging out with us. Always rocking and rolling. You all rock. And man, oh man, you can find the crazy one at Crazy Louie Gaming on Twitter. And also you can find me on the Xbox International podcast at 7 p.m. ET on Wednesday here on the YouTube channel. That's where you can find the crazy one. Last but not least, oh, I got to mention this, XBI en Español. Fridays at 7 p.m. ET with Eternal Shaddai, Ask Out Gaming, and all them cool guys. That's where you can find the crazy one.
Super appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much for being here. As always, looking forward to see what crazy shenanigans you need to get yourself into, whether it's in the shower, whether it's dressed as another character and slicing and dicing things in your apartment.
Or in jail.
Or in jail, absolutely. Oh, I don't think you could film in there, but... Gamsley, come on, brother. Let's sell your brand.
Yes,
sir. What do you got going on? Where can people subscribe to your YouTube channel? And more importantly, where can follow you on social media?
Yeah, so Game On Asa, you might know him from Game On Daily with Gaz. We teamed up with Deadly Headley and created the Xbox Series podcast, which is live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find that on the Gaming Arcadia channel on YouTube. So follow that, subscribe to that, hit the bell button. And if you like me, come look at all my crazy, crazy dumb tweets on X at GamsleyTKD. And of course, here every lunchtime on Monday. I love you guys and thanks for watching, and give people a hug out there. Be kind.
Yes, indeed. And we love you back, brother. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Fuzzy Belvedere, sell the brand, where people can check out the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre. What other shows that you're working on regularly? I know you're doing something new with 3-Bit. Want to talk about that? Get some people and get some ears and eyes over to that. Brother, sell the brand. Where can people subscribe and, more importantly, follow you on social media?
Oh, as always, thank you for having me on. Always awesome being on here with you guys on Monday afternoons, just talking about, you know, Xbox related, you know, breaking news and stuff that happens over the week and stuff. Looking forward to a lot of stuff between now and the June showcase. So definitely a lot to be excited about. Along with that, you'll see me posting either clips or some retweets of, you know, potential hardware that's in the making on the app formerly known as Twitter at @fuzzy_belvedere. You can also find me on other podcasts like FSP later on tonight on Fun Speculations channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then right back here for Friday morning with Breakfast with Boom at 10 a.m. Hope to see you there in the chat, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, brother. Super appreciate that. And last, in no way least, we had a very special guest join us when he can. Crispy Bomb, brother, where could people reach out to you on social media and potentially strike up a conversation? And what else you got going on, brother?
At Chris Bomb on X, Chris Bomb 28 Xbox Live. You can find me on Breakfast with Boom. Not this week, but
yes,
next week we'll be there. Yeah. And wherever else you can find me, you never know. I showed up today, so you just have to wait and see. I don't know. Waiting is very hard for people.
It can be, so especially if it's a good game that you're not waiting on. Like, I don't know, Dragon's Dogma 2. Don't wait, buy it, damn it.
Oh, he just threw a dig at me. I love it.
We both did.
Listen, thanks so much for being here. Hopefully you had enough fun. And you'll be back tomorrow with 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, back with the Xbox Factor podcast. Shout out to Zorro in the chat. We do have the head or the lead designer of Final Fantasy 16 out there talking about when it's done released on PC, it will be coming to other platforms, i.e. Xbox. That story literally just broke. I want to read about it and get the exact quote of what he had to say. And more than likely, we're going to cover that tomorrow, along with the Toys for Bob and a bunch of other things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to get to catch up with tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Obviously, Wednesday, we're coming back. Hargeet is back. We'll have our full crew ready to rock and roll for Primetime Gaming, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, closing out the week, because there's not going to be a Breakfast with Boom this Friday, because obviously it's Good Friday, and they kind of want to – Mrs. Boom and I kind of – you know, we just got to recharge our batteries a bit. There will be a Thursday show. Me and C-Money do a show each and every Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called X-Vlog Live. I will try to get a guest for that. And obviously, there is a lot of news to cover. And we hope that you come back and you check out the show. And, of course, I'm going to close out today's show. Oh, before we get to the closing out of the show, a big thank you to all of the Super Chats that came in. We had a lot of them today. Big thank you, honestly. Again, we're doing a giveaway this Thursday, $100 worth of gift cards, 4 gift cards to your platform of choice. And if you win, even if you're outside of the Americas, we will get you that money via PayPal only. And we pay for all of the transfer fees and everything. You pay for nothing. And it's these Super Chats and channel memberships that allow for us to do these giveaways. This is a small one. Mrs. Boom wanted to kind of, you know, celebrate that Easter is around the corner and do one of these small giveaways. We do have a lot of big ones towards the end of the year. And obviously those are funded by the people like you find folks here. So a big thank you for that. And of course, I'm going to close out today's show with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.